We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
My friends, I want you to notice this morning with me the third verse of the 37th Psalm. The third verse of the 37th Psalm. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now that's the third verse of the 37th Psalm. You might commit that to memory if you haven't done it. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now I want to be true to the Word of God. There's a great many things in the Bible that we apply to ourselves as Christians that really, primarily, do not apply to us. There are things in the Bible that are addressed to the Jewish people. Much of the Old Testament is addressed to the Jewish people. And there are things in the Bible that are addressed to the world. That is, the unregenerated world. Words of warning. There are things in the Bible that are addressed to wicked men, kings and rulers. There are things in the Bible that are addressed to the church or the body of Christ or believing saints in the New Testament dispensation. Now, we should always stop to look into the question, to whom is a passage of Scripture addressed? Now, primarily, this verse here, I think, applies to the Jewish people. Now, notice what he says to them. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, Israel was fixed in the land. God gave them a country. They have a title from heaven to that country. You might remember that. It doesn't matter what happens. The deed's been given to them. God gave that land to Abraham and to his seed forever. And we read in the Bible, if they didn't live up to it, up to the standards, they would be put out of the land. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. It's all come true. But they've been scattered over the face of the earth, and here they are today. The miracle of all ages has been that the Jew is scattered over the face of the earth. You remember the story of the sea monster that swallowed Jonah, we read about in the Bible? And Jesus said, this is a sign unto this generation. The experience of Jonah was a sign to this generation. The word generation there is genial, which means breed or stock or people. He said this is a sign to this stock or race of people. Now, what was the sign? A man was swallowed by a sea monster. Now, that's not miraculous. There are sea monsters that could swallow a dozen of us and not have a good breakfast. There wasn't anything miraculous about Jonah being swallowed. The miracle is that he wasn't digested after he was swallowed. The miracle of all ages has been the fact that the Jewish race has been swallowed up in the Sea of Nations, and yet the race has never been digested as a race. You can go to New York City and you'll find them come there from the ends of the earth. They come there from Spaniards and French people and all sorts of people. After three or four generations, they lose their racial identity. It's never been so with the Jewish people. They come there Jewish and the American citizens, and many of them are good American citizens. And yet they never lose their racial identity. You go anywhere in the world today, God has miraculously preserved this race through all the years. There's no miracle more wonderful than that miracle that's ever been wrought in the history of the world. And you can't explain it if you leave God out. Somebody asked Bismarck one day, I think it was Bismarck, said, give me one word that'll make you believe the Bible. And Bismarck said, Jew, that's the only word I need to make me believe the Bible. Now, God said to these Jewish people, in over here in the Old Testament, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, that's a remarkable statement. You trust in me, you do good, you'll dwell in the land, you won't be uprooted, and verily thou shalt be fed. I'll see you taken care of. You'll have something to eat. What a wonderful assurance on the part of Almighty God. But there they have been scattered over the face of the earth, uprooted, cast out, persecuted, going from land to land. Many thousands of them were cruelly murdered in the last uprising in Germany. Oh, how terrible, how cruel, how this marvelous, indescribable, miraculous race has had to suffer. There they are over the face of the earth. But you know, the light seems to be breaking. Their faces turned toward the homeland. And now, after nearly 2,000 years, they have a home again. They're back where, in their old homeland. There they are. Isn't that wonderful? But you know, many women, of course, as a Christian, I'm thinking about what the Bible says from a Christian standpoint. You know, they've been looking for a long time for a Messiah. They've been saying he's coming someday. Well, the only difference between a good old-time Orthodox Christian like me and a good old-time Orthodox Jew is just one little difference. I think that Jesus Christ, my Savior, whom I trust, is to be their Messiah. And when he comes again, he will sit down on the throne of David. David's throne is to be rebuilt and set up. The tabernacle of David is to be restored. We read that in the Bible. That's perfectly plain in the Bible, in the New Testament. We read there, and a woman shall be with child, literally fulfilled. Bring forth a son, literally fulfilled. His name shall be called Jesus, literally fulfilled. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Jesus has never had that throne. The throne of David is as real as the throne of Great Britain. He's never had it. And the Bible teaches it's to be set up again. And someday when Jesus comes back to reign on this earth, he'll sit down on the throne of David. And Jerusalem sometime will be the capital of the world. And he'll reign in righteousness. And we folks who are saved will reign with him. The great Orthodox preachers whom I've known believe that. Men like Camel Morgan, the greatest expository preacher I've ever known. Men like Dr. Munhall, that marvelous great Methodist preacher that was back in the days of Moody, whom I knew so well, lived to be 90 years of age, member of our board of trustees when he died. That marvelous man that wrote that book, the Book of Books. I go on and call the roll of them. Practically all of the evangelists have accepted that position. Billy Sunday, I could name the living evangelists. They practically all accept it. There's nothing radical about what I'm saying. It's been generally accepted by the great evangelistic leaders like Spurgeon and men of that kind. We all have stood together on this thing. The Lord is coming back someday and reign on this earth and be King of kings and Lord of lords. And then you're going to have peace. And then you'll beat your swords into plowshares and your spears into pruning hooks. And then children can play with serpents. And the lamb, the lion lie down together. That golden day's ahead of us. You know what Jesus says to us Christians? He said if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him when he comes again. Now, you are not saved by your suffering. You are saved because he suffered. Well, that's the reason you're saved. He died for you. And because he suffered for you, you trust him and you are saved. But wait a minute. That's not just being saved I'm talking about now. He said if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. And you Christian people that make up your mind today, you should make it up. To take your place outside the camp with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may make up your mind if you're going to be true to him. You'll be lied about and slandered and persecuted and misrepresented. We've had to endure that all our lives. As an evangelist and as a founder of this school, and I used to didn't understand how it was that you build a great Christian school. A Christian school to train Christian leaders. And Christian leaders are friendly to the country. We don't have any communists out here. We don't have anybody here unfriendly to the government. We don't send out anarchists and fellows of that kind. We send out people with constructive minds, friendly to the government. You'd think everybody would be for you, wouldn't you? Well, they're not. They were not for Jesus, they'll not be for you. But if you Christian people are willing to suffer with him, he said you'll reign with him when he comes to reign, and he's coming, just as certain as you're listening to this message, and just as certain as I'm talking to you. He's coming again. Now, wait a minute. This verse, I think, primarily applies to the Jewish race. But you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. You can take all of the examples of the Old Testament, all those great judges and prophets and rulers of the Old Testament, those servants of God of the Old Dispensation. They are all ours, too. They don't belong to any one race. They belong to us. You know, David, who wrote the 23rd Psalm and others of the Psalms, that sweet singer of Israel was God's man. And he's as much ours as he belongs to anybody else. And their principles hold all the way through. I spoke yesterday morning at chapel, as some of you may remember, on Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, some people say that that verse of Scripture, as all the Sermon on the Mount, will have their full application in the days that are ahead of us. When Jesus comes again to reign on the earth, that's the inaugural address of the king, and all those principles will be set up there then. Men will have pure hearts. They will see God. Well, it may apply in a certain sense to that time, but the principles are the same. The pure in heart always have seen God, always will see God. Nobody but the pure in heart can see God. If your heart's pure, you can see him in the darkness of the night, the light of noonday. You can see him in the midst of persecution. You can see him in dismal dungeons. You can see him wherever you look, for he never leaves us or forsakes us. So is a certain practical truth that you and I might get from this verse. Now notice just a minute. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now the only way a man can do good is to trust in the Lord. You know, we don't do good and trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord and do good. That's the fundamental principle there. How do I do good? By trusting the Lord. I can't be good in myself. All my righteousness is filthy rags. I can't be a good man in the sight of God, because I'm bad and I can't make myself good. I'm not saved by any works of righteousness which I can do. I'm not saved because I may feed hungry people or visit sick people or go out and clothe naked people. I'm not saved that way. That doesn't make me righteous. The Bible tells me emphatically that my righteousness, that is righteousness that I present to God, a good deed I offer to God, and say, here I am, Lord, I've done this, and now I want you to save me. Well, that doesn't save me. I couldn't earn salvation. I couldn't pay for salvation. You know, salvation is so priceless, there was only one that could pay for it, and that one was Jesus. So he went to the cross and died for us, poured out his blood. He paid the price. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. So I do good in God's sense, because I trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, every deed that we do in the name of Jesus Christ is a good deed. It's a good deed. Anything done in his name. If I give a cup of cold water in his name, I'll have a reward. I won't be rewarded because I go out here and are kind to people and because I give some money away, just as a man. Now, there's a certain sort of sense of decency and there's a certain sort of sense of reward maybe in this world. Because the eyes of the Lord go to and fro through all the earth, beholding both the good and the bad. And I think God looks down heaven with, at least if I may use the expression, with a charitable attitude towards a man that's kind and all that sort of thing. But when it comes to his salvation, when it comes to a home in heaven, when it comes to reward when Jesus comes again, there's no such thing as that, because you go about doing good. But whatsoever we do in his name, I do this because I trust the Lord. I do this because I'm a Christian. If you do, all right. Then you're doing good. That's the way to do good. Say, listen, isn't it a wonderful thing to take all of the good things we do in life, kind things, charitable things, friendly things, neighborly things, and do them in the name of Jesus? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if all of us Christians would say, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start in today now. And I'm going to visit my neighbor as a Christian. I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be human and easy and natural. I'm going to strut or put on. But as a Christian, I ought to go call on my neighbor. And in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be very neighborly. In the name of Jesus, when I go to church tomorrow, I'm going to put some money in his name. I'm not just going to drop it in because the collector looks at me. I'm going to drop it in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. You know, though I give my body to be burned, and though I do 1,000 other things and have not love, it profits me nothing. All the things I do, outside of the faith I have in Christ and loyalty to Christ and outside the name of Christ, profits me nothing. It's worth nothing, absolutely nothing. Trust in the Lord and do good. May God help us to so do this day in every little thing. When you wash the dishes, when you keep your house, when you dust the furniture, when you dress the baby, be a good mother for Jesus. Be a good wife for Jesus. Be a good husband. Be a good businessman. Be a good son and be a good daughter for the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.